I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards? Hello, everybody.
Hello.
We have watched episode 2.
Or 61?
Some would call it that, but it's episode 2 for our purposes. For anyone watching the show the right way, it's episode 2. Granite State, which is, we agreed, New Hampshire.
Yes.
I've already forgotten, because it's where he is.
He's in New Hampshire.
He's in New Hampshire.
He ends up in New Hampshire.
I mix New Hampshire and Vermont up all the time.
It could be Maine for all I know.
Yeah. But this was the first episode we got to watch and be like, oh, and it ends and you're like, oh, that's where they were. At the beginning of the last one.
Yes.
Did you have fun experiencing that?
It's essentially this whole process. Well, let me say, I think I got a pretty good handle on this show now.
Cool.
Got it all figured out. Watching it in this way has literally just been like, oh, pretty much nonstop.
That's cool. Wait, what's that oh mean? Like you're...
So... That's what that is, and kind of like, oh, those are the Nazis I saw before. They're still around.
Right, right. Well, yeah. I mean, when he wrote this and he said, I want to start at the end.
Yes.
And he said, and they're like, well, you kill your main character, where you go? And he goes, behind.
Hmm.
And it seemed like a challenge. It seemed like he started spinning a lot of plates in that first episode.
Yes. A lot of breadcrumbs, a lot of... I'm going to say breadcrumbs again.
A lot of balls in the air.
Yeah.
We got a few of them paid off here.
Yes.
Got that ring.
Yes. So that right then and there, that ring, I was like, oh, no shit. But also I was a little like, how did he not see that coming? Like he didn't just dramatically lose weight in his fingers while he was sleeping. Like he must have noticed that it got loose, right? Like why was he so surprised by that?
Because weight loss happens when you're least expecting it.
It's just like true love.
Just like true love.
Yes.
And he had stuff on his mind, Meg.
That's fair. I mean, I don't know. Should we begin at the beginning?
We should begin at the beginning. But okay. Did you like the episode?
It was a good episode.
It was good.
You know, it's hard to really, having only just seen the other one, it's hard to really judge it on like an academic scale of mm-hmm. A's and B's and pluses and minuses.
But you still must.
it's an essential. Mm-hmm. I would say this one is just as good as the last one. And I think the last one I was like, this is a B, B plus.
B plus,
so,
yeah.
So I think that I agree.
Yeah, the show takes a little bit to get simmering.
Yeah.
And so it's a second episode. You got the big... explosive premiere, and then, you know, it dies down a little bit.
There wasn't a lot of fat on there, you know? There wasn't, like, a lot of, like, I'm just gonna go check out this roadside attraction and kill 3 minutes just, like, as a set piece. So that's nice, you know? Like,
did that happen in the last episode, or...?
No.
Oh!
I was just saying, like, they're both pretty lean pieces of...
This one looks like it was written by a Peter Gould.
Mm.
He seems nice. Because regular listeners will know me and Meg are in the business.
Yes.
We're in the entertainment industry. We'll just leave it at that.
Yes.
And when you make a pilot, you film that pilot.
Yes.
And then you show that to networks and you go, I think I got something here. So that last episode was filmed on its own. And then they were like, all right, we'll run it serious, 16 episode order. And then Vince Gilligan had to put together a team.
Yes.
And that this is the first fruits of that team.
That you've just described how every television show...
That's every, yeah. And I'm just... We have a lot of people who listen to this in the middle of the country.
Yes.
And...
They think it just happens.
They think it just happens.
That's fair.
And, I mean, why would they know? They're not, like... I don't know how farms work.
I mean, you bring up a good point.
I'm not... And I would... Not to look down. It's hard.
I cannot even really manage my own life. So to manage mm-hmm. like a farm seems...
Managing a farm or managing a grocery store.
Or managing like a car insurance place.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how to do any of that.
Yeah, so...
So if I was listening to a podcast and they're talking about that, I'd be like, no, you got to fill me in. I don't know all these terms.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, so anyway. And we need to be at the beginning.
I also couldn't manage like a preschool.
I can manage a preschool.
You could manage a preschool.
I do very well.
Yeah. I could see that. You seem good with kids.
I'm good with kids because I don't like kids that much. And kids like people who don't like kids.
That's true.
They like, because you talk to them like a grown-up, like not on purpose, and they enjoy that more, I have found. Because every time I'm around a kid, I'm like, what do you want? And they love it.
I've seen you with my kids, and my kids love you, and it's because you're constantly like, please stop touching me.
Please stop touching me. Go away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what did you do today? What value did you bring into the world? I ask them that every time. Okay. So we open up. There's our red van.
Yes.
Yeah. And we got this old man.
So this old man, what have I seen him in before? Because I'm pretty sure it's everything I've ever watched.
He's in The Descendants. It's Robert Forster.
Oh, okay.
And he's in Jackie Brown was a big movie of his. That's all I know off the top of my head.
Does he play, when he's younger, like some type of military-esque personality?
I have to imagine he
does. Yeah. He gives off strong military vibes.
He 100% has to at some
point. Yeah, like a crotchety old sergeant or something. So he's driving this van. He pulls into a garage and he's like, you're here. Mm-hmm. And out pops Bob Odenkirk.
Mr. Show himself.
Yes. I will say I know this character's name because I exist in the universe.
Yeah, he has
They don't say his name, I think, in
so there. To keep things canon, we'll just call him Bob Odenkirk since we don't know his character's name.
Yeah.
I wish we did because we love Bob.
Yes.
And he gets out. He looks a little roughed up.
Yeah, he looks disheveled.
We don't know why.
Very worried.
Looks like there's some... What did you think was going on at this point? They take his picture.
Well, so at the very beginning, when he first pops out, I wasn't sure if he was there by choice, but then it became apparent, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they take his picture. It seems like they're building him a new identity. I thought that was unfortunate. He's going to go live in Nebraska now, mm-hmm. which doesn't really seem far enough away from mm-hmm. New Mexico. It seems like they could have, you know, sent him somewhere else.
Yeah.
And this man who runs a vacuum repair store mm-hmm. is obviously been paid a lot of money to start a new life for this guy,
yeah.
right?
Yep, you got it.
Okay, cool.
Who's in the basement?
But Walt.
Walt from the episode before, bald as the day he was born.
Bald, and he seems like a little pissed off.
Yeah, because last episode, I'm watching it, and I'm like, okay, this character's cool as a cucumber. That's his deal. He made some bad choices, but he keeps a steady head.
Even keel. Not gonna just be a real angry guy threatening people.
He says stuff like, Elliot, if you're gonna do that, we're gonna need a bigger knife.
Oh, yes, he does say
that. He does say that, and he says it all like a very relaxed boy.
He in the last episode, he seems to fear no death, but in this episode... He has unfinished business.
Yeah, he's got unfinished business and fear of death.
Yes. There's definitely like he's a man operating with a lot of anxiety. So then, yeah, the old man, what's his name? Forrest Whitaker.
Robert Forrester. Forrest Whitaker. Forrest Whitaker.
Robert Forrester.
Okay.
Tells him that Bob Odenkirk, he's going to go live in a basement for a few days while he gets everything together, mm-hmm. and he's going to stay with Walt in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gets down there, Walt's like trying to boss him around, but it seems like all of his intimidation tactics aren't working anymore. It seems mm-hmm. like everybody, it seems at least in this case, Bob Odenkirk isn't afraid of him,
mm-hmm.
But he may have been in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, because he tries to... like, get up in his shit, and then he just coughs a bunch.
Yeah, and Bob Odenkirk's like,
dude.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, dude, we're done.
Yeah.
And then we have that small scene with the woman from the phone call in the first episode.
I've forgotten her name.
I don't think we ever learned her name, did we?
I feel like she was like, Skylar, it's me, Janice, or something.
So, Janice.
We see her. She's with some men in suits. Mm-hmm. And they pull up to this house, and I don't know who the hell's house it was, but mm-hmm. it's got papers everywhere.
Yeah, and then hard cut to Nazis watching a DVD.
Yes. So I'm led to believe that Jesse was where the DVD was filmed. Mm-hmm. Jesse was, that was the same location that they had just, that was just torn apart that mm-hmm. the cops went into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This would, I'm just realizing now how much more fun this would be if I also had not seen the show and we were legitimately figuring out instead of me stringing you along and being like, no, yeah, that's a good guess.
we could go find a show we both haven't seen.
That'd be fun. But
okay. For the purposes of this.
For the purpose of, but we're in this, we're in the thick of this now. We must go forward.
Okay.
This will be my fourth rewatch of the show. So Jesse is with some neo-Nazis who are very much alive again.
Yeah.
And mean?
They seem pretty pissed off. They're like, oh, well, because they're like mad at Jesse on the DVD for crying, which just seems like, that's not fair.
It's not fair. I mean,
he was having an emotional moment.
I cried today.
I haven't cried. Did I? I cried last night watching the show Cheer. So within 24.
You watched Cheers?
And no, no, Cheer.
Oh.
Anyways, we should watch that backwards.
Cheer or Cheers?
Both.
Yeah.
So it seems as though they're mad. Jesse rats out, is it Todd or Tad?
Whatever you want it to be.
I think it's Todd. He rats him out on the DVD, and they're like, that's it. This guy is going to die. But I already know he's not going to die.
He doesn't die. Because we know he's in the last episode.
Yeah. So that's, if anything else, that's been the trade-off here, is I'm completely in the dark as to who everybody is and what they're doing. And also, I know who's going to die and who's going to live.
Yeah.
So that takes away a lot of the stakes for the rest of the
season. Takes away
some
stakes, but hey, there's a wonderful series of films called the Star Wars prequel trilogy.
Oh, yes.
And in those, they're great. You know who's going to live and die, and you know what? They're still wonderful films.
That's true. I know so many men in their 40s who will throw whatever device they're listening to this on the ground and stomp away after hearing you call those great.
Hey, if you're listening to this and you don't like those films, think about a film you really do like. And I think you'll realize it's got a lot in common with those Star Wars films that I'm talking about. Name a movie, Meg.
Inside Out.
Inside Out. And Attack of the Clones are similar because they both have friendship.
That's very true.
In it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to cut this. I'm so tired right now.
We're gonna soldier through.
We're kind of tired. We don't know why. It's early.
We both had a lot of carbs today, and I think
we both had too many carbs today. Meg's coming off keto. I'm trying a new meal thing. And I'm recently become a person who works out, and it's going fine.
I have become a person who's been working out more after already working out some.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I was a person who's working out from August to December. Today is the February 15th in the year of our Lord 2020. And in the past 3 days, I've re-become a person who works out. And boy, are my little legs and arms sore.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You gotta not.
Meg was really nice watching Breaking Bad in my room when I just kept going, ow, ow, ow.
It was distracting.
Ow. So thank you. We watch with subtitles on. So they're mad at Jesse, and they're very unpleasant about
it. And they want to kill him, and they decide, and Todd is like, hey, I don't want you to kill him because I want to be able to keep doing meth deals with the black-haired lady who loves Stevia, Lydia.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, well, if you okay, and they make
a very rude
hand gesture about a vagina.
Yeah,
and I was like, no thanks, these Nazis.
I didn't care for that either.
Yeah,
but I do love that they're like, you know what, we may be Nazis, but we appreciate a good love story.
Yeah, I mean, it is cute that they're like, go get
it's,
it.
It's terrifying.
Go sell meth so you can be in love.
So you can be in love. Yeah. But we know that doesn't work out. Oof.
Duh, yeah.
Okay. So later on, Walt's in the bunker. We already got that. Oh, smoking lady.
She
Skylar, we know her name.
She is the smoking lady. In this instance, Skylar was getting chewed out by a bunch of cops.
By a bunch of cops. And notably, not smoking.
Yeah, in this scene, she's not smoking. I'm guessing because she's trying to quit. And we'll find that out in the next.
She's trying to quit.
Well, and the cops, they...
Usually when you're getting interviewed by the cops, you want a cigarette.
I think it's prosecutors. I think they're federal
prosecutors. Prosecutors make sense, it seems like it.
They don't like it when you smoke.
They don't like it when you smoke. No, from experience.
And so she's kind of having like shell shock noises, like she can't focus. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I want to be able to give you what you want, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. And they don't believe her. And I wasn't sure. The guy gives a real Adam Schiff vibe. Like I was thinking like, oh, this is like a, like the interrogator is like.
Okay. Like, Adam Schiff, our congressman.
Yes.
So we're not allowed to talk about him disparagingly.
I'm not.
Because he's. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to.
I'm
go,
just saying he's got, like, an authority. I don't have a problem with the law.
I don't have a problem with him either, Mr. Schiff.
Schiff, it's cool.
He's just our congressman.
Adam Schiff, I know you're listening, and we're all on board
with
you.
We're all on board with you. We think you're great. I'm a big Schiff head.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
You kind of look like this guy in Breaking Bad.
Or, like, there's just character vibes that are similar.
I think Adam Schiff's pretty hot.
I don't mind it. Like, I don't mind that how he looks. Like,
there's
he's got,
no
like, an attitude I like.
As someone who's horny all the time.
Yes.
There was no, I didn't get any release this episode.
I wanted to bring that up. Maybe that's a thing that we can, like every episode, like the horniness factor.
Yeah, this is a not very horny episode.
This is not a super horny episode.
The first, like, I would say that last episode wasn't horny and then it got red hot.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because you saw his tummy a
You saw his
bit.
Tummy.
In the last episode. It was, you didn't see any tummies in this one.
It was sweet.
It was a good tum-tum.
Yeah. And so, where are we in the episode?
She just got interrogated. She's, you know, they're skeptical that she doesn't know what's up with Walt.
And then smash cut to home and what she got in her mouth.
A cigarette.
Which is her thing.
Yes, she's back on the
wagon. She's back on the wagon,
or she's
baby.
Off the wagon.
She's
smoking.
She has changed her wagon status from what it was a scene ago.
Fair.
And then she's like, oh, I should probably check on the old baby and then hit the hay.
Yeah.
And then.
That's a thought I have usually.
Is it?
Yeah.
As a mother?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you leave babies in the other room? I guess you do eventually.
I never did. I always. They were always duct taped to my torso, no matter what. I never let them be. But that's another podcast.
That's another podcast.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
Yes. Where I explain what it's like to have a baby backwards.
I can't wait. So first, they're 18.
Yeah. And it is.
And it is weird having this adult here.
Tense. Yeah. You love them, but they hate you. It's weird. No, so she goes to check on the baby, and guess what? There's a bunch of men in ski masks, and they're all just looking at the baby. And she's like...
Not doing anything.
Just like, hey.
Kind of looking at it.
What do you think it means?
Kind of...
Puts it all in perspective for you.
I mean, I FaceTimed with my niece Lady Baby today.
Oh, yeah.
She's doing well.
Oh, cool.
She always puts her little arms next to her face. I don't know why. It looks like she's trying to think... It looks like she thinks people are going to steal her ears.
Does she wear the mittens still?
She wears the mittens.
Yeah, because they'll just grab their... They just grab
That's crazy. Babies. How are we still a species?
I don't know.
These babies are so helpless.
They, my daughter, when she was a baby, would like hook her finger in her eyelid and be like, ah, and cry at me. And I was like, well, stop doing that. And I'd try to stop her, but she'd still do it again. I'd be like, please, knock it
Did
off.
Did they do anything to sedate that baby or...
I mean... I don't know how this works, but I would guess they shot around its sleeping schedule. Or
yeah.
That was a doll for most of the scene. And I, right? Like a
Yeah,
like,
probably.
And then they picked up the baby and it was like, what? Like,
did they ever pick up the baby? I forget.
After they were like, well, the layout of that house confused the hell out of me because they kind of like, so the men in the masks were like, hey, please don't tell anybody. They were very polite. They're like,
they're very nice.
Madam. Please don't mention
yeah.
this lady with black hair to the cops. And if you do, there's going to be trouble. And she's like, I'm not going to tell anybody shit. And they're like, okay, thank you. And then they just walked out a giant bay window, mm-hmm. essentially. And I was like, well,
we have given the Nazi fellows kind of a hard time. And I do want to say it was nice that they weren't rude.
Yeah, they had good man. They kept their voices low.
Their voices down.
They seemed to just be like level-headed about the whole thing. So I felt like that was a good. That was them showing their manners.
That was them showing their manners, which I appreciate as a Midwestern boy.
And then after they leave through a giant open window, Skylar picks up the baby who is now crying and wearing a hat. Also, I wanted to point out that crib had bumpers. Mm-hmm. That makes no sense for a baby that age. And also on top of that, those are illegal.
Why are they illegal?
They're like a SIDS hazard. They're like
a what?
Like a sudden infant death hazard. Like the babies will roll and get their faces like pressed up against the bumpers.
When you say bumper, are you talking about like the slats in a crib?
No, they protect the baby from the slats in the crib from getting like their arms and legs stuck on.
Oh,
them. But you're not supposed to have them in the crib anymore. But I don't know. Maybe at the time this was filmed, that was okay. Or like the time period, that was okay.
I didn't know about this.
Oh,
yeah, I don't.
Well, things you learn. This is why you need that podcast.
I need that podcast because yeah. I am expecting.
And a baby.
Someday.
That's fair.
Someday I'll get one.
Yeah.
Get one at the store. So then Todd talks to Lydia at a...
At the same coffee shop.
Same coffee shop, before. Not the same server.
No, and she only had two lines.
She only had two lines. So is that an under five?
I mean, it is under five.
It's under five. Okay, but so how much money did she make for that part?
I mean, a day rate for that, I think, would have been, you know, like just around $1,000.
That's pretty good. Hey, congratulations. Plus
10% if she has an agent.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But oh, no.
The agent gets
them. Oh, the agent gets them up.
But no, it was the same. It's the same thing. I don't know what the rates were in like 2013 or whatever.
Yeah. They were different. We weren't in the biz back then.
Yeah. Well, we weren't out here.
Yeah. I mean, we were making moves.
Yeah. We were born into this.
You were born in. I do. That is something I should mention to our Midwestern listeners. If you got it, you got it.
Yeah.
And if you don't, like, stay home.
Yeah.
Because like me and Meg, we got it.
And traffic's really bad out here.
And just, you know, just there's other stuff you can do.
Yeah.
Me and Meg got it. So then Lydia's like, hey, we're done cooking meth.
Yeah.
That's for goddamn sure.
Go ahead.
Things are super hot. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, yeah, but we got good meth again.
And she was like, a good meth, you say? That how could it be?
Mm-hmm.
And then they started talking about percentages. And this is something I'm confused at. When they say, like, we got 92% meth, I was like, well, what's the other 8%? Isn't it all 100% meth? So I guess, like, the percentage thing is going to come up in other episodes because mm-hmm. it seems like this is, like, is it, like, grades of, like, you know, ground beef where there's just like, this is 80-20 ground beef and the rest is
when
like...
you make methamphetamine, and I just know this from Googling it up, it's like the way the chemical process works, a certain percentage of it is pure methamphetamine and what's left is diarrhea. And so like it's hard to cook a very pure thing of meth and then
without any diarrhea.
Yeah. So if you make like 60% pure, well then you get 40% of that is diarrhea.
Well, wouldn't it just be easier to like cut out the diarrhea?
You'd think so.
And leave it with 100%, 60% of 100%.
It doesn't work that way. It's all mixed in.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It is all mixed in. So if you have 96% pure, that's only 4% diarrhea, which is like, I probably ate 4% diarrhea today.
That's fair.
Just living in the world.
Yeah, I mean, no, there's a little bit of diarrhea on everything.
There's a little bit of diarrhea on everything. We're in Los Angeles.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm. She tells him, I think we need to take a break. And I'm not sure if that is also like there's a romantic relationship there or what.
I don't know.
That's another breadcrumb.
Well, it's another breadcrumb. We'll find out. And then, oh. So they kind of cut. The first one is easier to recap because I guess it'd be easier to just do storylines because the first one is just like one guy kind of running around, and this one they keep cutting back and forth between.
Oh, true.
So I guess we'll go back to the Nazis.
The Nazis. Yes.
Yeah. Well, because it's pure because Jesse's there.
Yes.
And then they go, and he's just all kinds of shackled in a big pit.
Yes.
And what was your question about the pit when we were watching the episode?
I was just wondering, well, it's more of just a general question about what this property was originally intended for.
Mm-hmm.
Was it built to specifications by the Nazis, or was it like land that was once used for like dairy production? I don't know. Because there's just like a pit, like a big pit in the ground with a you know, bars on top. And I'm wondering in what other fields and what other purpose that pit would be other than like keeping people prisoner.
Only thing I could think of is if it was something for, this is a dumb guess, if there was something for a farm, was that like where you like, I don't know, keep a bunch of grain?
But why would you, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's probably a grain pit that you need. But then why would...
Have I been recording a podcast with an open window?
I don't know.
Whole...
I wanted to know.
I just...
Should you close
I'm
it?
I'm going to go close the window. You can... Yeah, keep the audience happy.
Why? Okay. Anyways, I was just wondering why there was a pit there and if this was something... Like, those Nazis don't seem like they're that good at fabrication and, like, building stuff out. I mean...
It looks found.
Yeah, it looks like they... They just repurpose it, and I just don't know why, for what purpose it had originally.
Ooh, that's nice.
That's nice and quiet.
That's a nice quiet house. Yeah. Okay.
And then they give Jesse some ice cream, which is cool.
Well, he had been attempting a few times to unshackle himself, and then he like realizes they're coming, and he's like, ah, shoot, and he puts the shackles back on, and I was like, why did he put them on so well again? Why didn't he just have them like a tad too big so he could...
Hulk out.
Yeah, Hulk out. I don't know. It just seemed like he made more work for himself. So yeah, they give him some ice cream, and this is where they called out Ben and Jerry's, and I was like, did Ben and Jerry's like pay them to put their name?
I feel like you would have had to see the actual package if that's a good product placement.
But just to discuss it, because they discussed specific flavors. They said like Americone Dream, which is
Stephen
Colbert's.
When this came out, he did a joke about it in his monologue.
Oh. And another cookie dough one, like Tonight Dough or something. And I just, well, one, I felt like how could they name the flavors and not have to pay, I don't know. It seemed like good advertising.
Well, Jesse escapes and then...
Well, he eats the ice cream and then he escapes, but then he gets caught.
He gets caught and then they're like, oh, you done did it now.
Yes.
And then what happens next, Meg? I'm interested in thinking what you think about this.
Oh, he says he's not going to cook any more meth, so they might as well just kill him. But I know he doesn't get killed, and I know he goes to cooking meth. Oh, and then I forgot about this part. Earlier in the episode, you see a picture of him younger.
It's not him. He's not in that picture.
That's not him in the picture? Oh, no. Then, so I initially thought that the woman in the picture was his... sister.
Oh, oops.
So, because I thought it was like a woman and it was like a lady and her kid, right? So I thought that they were this like kids together or something. But is that his? Well, you can't tell me.
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
I fucking know. Okay. Sorry.
So then they're like, so then Todd shows up and he goes and he's just walking down what seems like a normal Albuquerque subdivision and he knocks on a door and some lady with curly hair comes out and he's like, hey, I'm a friend of Jesse's. And he says it like he's like pretty sexy.
And then when they cut to Jesse in the car, I like his legitimately terrifying image.
Oh, wow.
When he's like
screaming and he's got gagged. And then the lady's like, where is he? Where's Jesse? I haven't seen him. And he's like, he's just down there. And it's like that scene from Goodfellas where Robert De Niro is trying to get the guy's wife to go like get those like fur coats that are down an alley, and she realizes he might be like putting a hit out on her. And so he's like, "Yeah, just go. You see, he's in that car," and he is actually in the car. But then she gets killed.
I don't remember the scene. I haven't seen Goodfellas in a number of years.
His name's Ray Liotta. He has a wife, and it's during that really like paranoid time.
Yeah, didn't she? She wakes him up with a gun to the face, right?
I mean, not in that scene. But I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen it. Well, it's a kind of a boys' movie.
We should start a Goodfellas podcast.
Should we watch it backwards?
Should watch Goodfellas. and so he's really sad after that.
Yeah, he's beyond hysterical.
He's beyond hysterical, and then they say, "Hey, don't forget, still got the kid too."
Oh yeah, so it must be his child.
I don't know.
I don't think Jesse is the type to like adopt another man's child. Like, I think that's probably his kid if he really gives a crap about it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just a wild guess. I don't know. So then, yeah, what happens after that? You'll have to
remember. I'm just getting on. So that's all the Jesse Nazi stuff.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the episode is just like saddle Walt in a saddle cabin.
Yes. But I seem to I was like, hey, man, if you're going to, like, not be in jail and eat, like, kind of live, like, by your own. I mean, I don't know. There's, like, I'm of two minds on this. In one way, he has his freedom. But in the other way, he doesn't.
Because, like, you make a point at the end of the episode. Or, no, the beginning of the episode when Bob Odenkirk says, face the music. If you walk in with your head all out, you'll be the John Dillinger of, like, the correctional system. Like, yeah. No one's going to. You're not, like, a pedophile. Like, in prison, people will be like, oh, shit, you're the kingpin meth guy. Like,
yeah.
I mean, prison's not great, I assume, but...
But he'd have some respect. He's not like a creepo. He's not like a serial killer. Mm-hmm. He's not a pedo.
He made a lot of money. He probably have a pretty good prison life.
Yes, and also he's sick, so he's not going to go to, like...
Yeah, he's going to be dead soon.
Yeah.
So I think I would like that. I mean, legitimately getting... I just got done watching a Netflix series about people on death row. Mm. And going to jail for life... a lot of them, they got put on death row, but then were, like, taken off and just put on life.
Yeah.
Getting put in jail for life is one of the weirdest, like, scariest things I can think of.
I feel like that has always been a fear of mine since I was a little kid, and I was like, something's going to happen.
Oh, I just watched The Staircase where the guy did or didn't do it, and I was like, if he didn't, he's been in jail for 8 years. Ugh. Ugh, guys.
Try not to go to jail.
Don't go to jail. Like, and sometimes we get it, it's not your fault. Sometimes they just put you there. And some of you people in jail, if you're listening, you know what you did. And that was bad. And you should be there. Some of you, you didn't do it.
How would they get this podcast in jail or prison?
I don't know what is allowed.
That's fair.
And if this is on the radio, if they put this on the radio, and they might. And if they're listening and it's in jail, and you're a good guy... I'm so sorry, and that is an injustice. And if you did it, you shouldn't have done that. And
you should think about what
you should think about what you did. That's what you're there for.
Yes.
And I think that about wraps that segment up.
Are you about to cry?
I'm about to cry.
Okay. yes, Bob Odenkirk lays it out pretty easy peasy. Mm-hmm.
And then they go up the country to New Hampshire.
Yes. And one thing I had a question about was if Walt sat in the back of that empty grain silo or whatever.
If you had the same question I did.
For I would say a good 34 hours it would take to drive that. I don't know. It seems right, right? Yeah. Did he sit there the whole time? And why couldn't he have a pillow? I mean,
he should have had a pillow.
I mean, you could at least have like a pillow. I don't know. And, like, how did he body?
Well, I assume they took breaks off the side of the road, and he...
I don't think that guy seemed pretty, like...
Or maybe he, like, had a poopy bucket, and then he's, like, there's a little hole to dump it in, and it just goes on the road.
Makes sense.
I mean, pee-pee's easier.
Yeah.
Because you just, you know... He's there, and they have some DVDs, and no internet.
He has Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium, two copies.
Two copies?
Yes. And it seems like he's being like pretty ungrateful for a man who just is trying to get him not in prison.
Yeah. And he's like, you're a hot client. Excited to find out why he's so hot.
Yes.
We
hear Heisenberg a few more times this
Where did
episode.
We see? Oh, we saw that on the wall last
time.
We
saw that on the wall. Oh, and the guy was like, listen. You're going to stay in here. You're going to eat canned beans and frozen steaks. You're going to not go into town, and you're going to be a good boy. And he's like, well, what if I don't want to? He's like, then I am not going to give you any medicine. And you're donezo, kid. Mm-hmm. I can't keep coming back to help you. And then he leaves. And so I forgot what my point was about this other than Walt kind of is in his own prison that way, too.
Yeah.
It's like just like a slightly nicer prison, maybe? I don't know.
You don't have guards watching you.
Yeah.
You don't have...
Nobody's going to shoot
you. There's no scary people. But that isolation legitimately freaks me out.
That level of, solitude. Mm-hmm. I mean, why can't he at least get a pet? Like, why couldn't he have a dog or something?
Yeah, should have given him a fucking dog.
I mean, that wouldn't
That would have fixed it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would have, though.
It would have actually fixed it.
It sounds like an ideal life
for most men. A miniature long-haired dachshund.
Sure.
The best type of dog, the type I had growing up.
They're
perfect.
I am not going to get into this with you right now. I had Boston Terriers, and they were also nice.
They sound great.
Yes, and yours sound also nice.
I'm not shitting on any other type of dog. I just like the one I like.
That's fair.
Me and Meg are both so tired, and we're just getting at each other's throats.
This is the most tense we've ever been.
I am sorry if you're listening to this and just going, ew. It's awkward in the room, too.
Our blood sugar's so low.
We got to get through.
We got to power through.
He comes back a significant amount of time later.
But he tries to leave. And this is something. He puts on a really dumb hat. And he's like, I'm going to fuck this old man. I'm going to get down there.
Yeah, yeah.
And he puts on a stupid hat and he marches down to the gate. And I don't know if he's winded or if he realized he forgot to lock the door. But he's like, shit, I can't do this. But I was like, what a stupid hat.
It's a dumb hat. Yeah.
What a weird statement. Why would anybody wear this?
Because he's trying to cover his identity.
But I feel like you said out loud, that's a dumb idea to wear that hat out there. And I was like, oh, yeah, I mean, I think he looks dumb, but it seemed like you had many more reasons to think it
was. Oh, no. I was saying because it doesn't cover your ears.
Yeah, no, and it's cold.
And it's cold.
Yeah. So then he leaves, and then you see him again, and yeah, it seems as though like 6 months or so has passed.
There's that hair we missed.
A lot of hair.
Mm-hmm.
And he's desperately lonely, and then he's much skinnier.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like... Yeah. Chopping at the bit with this dude.
He's much skinnier, but he's got a fatter finger because later on his finger gets skinny. The fat all goes to his finger and then that gets skinny really fast.
Just overnight.
It's just, whoa, boy.
Yeah. Oh, buddy.
He's thirsty for Robert Forster.
Yeah.
Because he's sad. And Robert Forster gives him chemotherapy.
I think that's what's happening there.
Seems like it.
Yeah. We're like, help your lung bag of fluid. I don't really know what's going on. He's so lonely. He bribes Robert Forster $10,000 for 2 hours. And Robert Forrester's like, no, 1 hour. And I was like, man.
Oh, that was pretty cool.
You thought it was cool that he played hardball? I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know what Walter White did, but it seems to be pretty bad. And everyone's all mad at him.
He probably didn't just like take a pack of gum.
He didn't take a bag of gum or else they wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
And then he leaves, and Walter White's finger gets real skinny.
Yes, in the middle of the night.
And he puts it around his neck, which is what we saw last episode.
Yeah, we did see the little necklace, and I was like, oh, man.
They paid this Vince Gilligan fella. Has
paid that off.
Paid that off. Good job.
Yeah. And so he gets all, like, he wakes up from the ring, and he sees a box of Pediasure. Again, now that is a product placement, like... I've never seen. Why would Pediasure want this bad, bad man?
Well, he needed... Wait, what's Pediasure do?
Pediasure is like what really picky little kids have to drink when they won't have...
Oh, because it like fattens them up?
Yeah, kind of. It's like very nutrient and fat dense. Because they won't have...
Oh, that makes sense why he had it.
Oh, no, it makes sense why he had it, but I just like Pediasure... is for children.
Hmm.
It was Ensure. It wasn't Pediasure, but okay. I think it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
Just like rich milkshakes full of vitamins.
It sounds delicious.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I've had Pediasure and it's not terrible.
so he's kind of like, this part that like kind of bummed me out. I kind of wanted to leave because I was bummed out.
Oh.
I don't like being bummed out.
That's fair.
Yeah. Were you bummed out at all?
When he dumps all the Ensure all over the ground?
No, just the whole time.
Oh, like the whole episode?
The whole episode where he's in that cabin and sad.
It is sad. It's hard to see him. It seems like he's like really on the downward spiral here. It seems like he's not understanding why things have gotten this bad.
And then at the end of that spiral is him getting into that car at the beginning.
But wasn't the last episode, it was nighttime at the beginning. But,
He puts a bunch of money in the Pediasure and he...
Marches his ass down. But without that hat.
He doesn't put that hat on.
He wears something reasonable.
He wears a...
That covers his head.
That's a smarter decision. And so he goes to the bar, he tries to give his money to confirmed to be his son.
Yes, his son is in school taking a test, and just called out to go to the principal's office. And he's like, your aunt, or the principal's like, your aunt Maria, or Marie is on the phone. Mm-hmm. And then it's actually just some bar fly.
Some bar fly.
And she's like, sorry, sweetie. And then,
hey, toots, I got your dad on the phone. And he is like, I have class.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of my midterms.
What they were studying. All those fucking kids.
It looked like intro lab science class.
All those kids were so regimented.
They were all taking the test, but there was no like folder walls up to prevent you from peeking.
Yeah, I would have copied the shit out of all that stuff.
Some kid named Dimitri copied off of my ACT, and I was like, poor guy, I bombed that. So I hope the ACT board is listening to this and takes away his college degree.
What's his name?
Dimitri, I think.
Yeah. Take it away, guys.
Yeah.
The kid named Jacob in my science class. I was a really good student until freshman year of high school, and then super not.
Okay.
But in seventh grade, I still was, and I just crushed this science test. This kid Jacob sat next to me, and he wasn't like good. And then he got I missed two questions, and he missed those exact same two questions. And the teacher like talked to me. She goes, "Woo." She knew we weren't friends, but she like. And then I was like, "Yeah, they accused you of copying off me." And he's like, oh no, I can't, I studied so hard. And I was like, oh, you did it.
This guy named Kyle Kuchenbecker, I hope he's listening.
I didn't use last names on purpose, but go on.
God, that's such a Midwest last name too. He copied off of me in my math class, and yeah, it was the exact same. This is a stupid story that you just told, and I'm telling it again, but I like it better now. Yeah. He copied off of me, and then the math teacher was this intimidating man named, I think, Mr. Daniels.
Mr. Clown.
Mr. Clownface. And he yelled at both of us, and I didn't do anything wrong, and I thought it was wildly unfair to accuse me of anything. And it's not fair. Anyway, stupid. So we understand that his son...
His son has a big test.
Is it... what's his name?
Flynn.
Oh, it's Flynn...
Flynn White.
White.
Well, because White's his last name.
Yeah, that makes sense. I thought it was going to be like Heisenberg Jr. or something like that.
No.
Nope, that's true. He goes and gets you know, trapped into this conversation, and his dad is trying to send him money, and then he's just his son like loses it, and he says, "Why won't you die? You killed Hank." But I've heard different things about who killed Hank, because
who do you think Hank is?
Well, Hank is somehow related to Skyler, right? It's their uncle. He says it's his uncle. You killed Uncle Hank.
Oh, okay.
So I'm guessing it's Skyler's like brother.
I don't know. We'll find out.
Or like Skyler's sister's husband.
I'm just excited to find out who this fucking Hank guy is.
Okay, so yeah,
I'm chomping at the bit. That's our biggest question.
That was so far
going in. Who the fuck is Hank?
He gets really mad. He's like, "You killed Hank. Why don't you go and die?" And he hangs up the phone.
And he gets his wish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the principal comes in and she says, "What was that about? Yeah. Go take your test."
Go take your test. Because you're not supposed to leave a test for that long.
Yeah.
Or else you might have looked up answers.
That's true.
And so the principal's really mad about that.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird in the moment because it doesn't really have anything to do with the show.
You can kind of tell it wasn't in the script.
You can tell. Yeah. You can. I know that teacher from I've been working the table when she's come in for auditions.
Because you're in the business.
I'm in the business. Mm-hmm. And she's always just like, "I took all these improv classes." And you could tell she was just excited to use that.
Yeah.
This is all true.
Absolutely.
This is all true. You could tell.
You could tell.
She would not shut up about her Herald team.
And then we're back in the bar where Walt is like pretty devastated that his own son boy. Is like.
And then what I was thinking, and I think this oftentimes when I watch TV, I'm like, this is pretty good because he's a little more Schwartz.
Yeah.
And what do we get?
We get he's drinking some bourbon in this bar, and lo and behold, the Schwartzes,
those rich Schwartzes,
dorky people from the last episode are talking about how they barely know Walter White, and that they helped him He only really helped them make up their company name and that.
And he's like, ooh, yes. Boy, ooh, we're going why I oughta. He has a lot of why I oughta.
Yeah, he definitely is mad. But here's the thing. What he did right before he saw the Swartz on TV was tip off the DEA that he was where he was. And he left the phone off the hook so they could trace his exact location.
Oh, yeah. Is that why? Because he left off the hook? They could do that?
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. You know, they always say in the TV shows. I don't know. Shows,
it like, takes keep him like on the line for...
Yeah, for exactly 47 seconds or whatever. And then he, as he's waiting there to get picked up by the cops, he sees the Swartzes and he realizes... I guess he realizes... Hey, those Schwartzes are going to be the people who are going to be able to pass the money along to my family because a lot of this episode, he's trying to find out how he's going to get the cash to his
family. Yeah, and then we find out last episode that worked out.
Yes, so he achieved his goal, then he died.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, cool. So we finished the episode.
Didn't finish it all the way because when the cops show up, he's nowhere to be seen.
He's probably, he's somewhere until nighttime.
Yes, he's hiding in the rafters or maybe in plain sight. Maybe he just painted himself with body
paint. He painted himself with body paint the color of the bar.
And he stood.
He just stood right there.
Maybe he painted himself like the different alcohol bottles with like different, I think he's just standing in place. We've already established he's good at up close magic.
He's good at up close magic.
He might be really good at practical set design too.
I'll spoil it. He's really good at practical set design. That becomes a really big part of the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
God, he's fucking good at up close magic. I just wanted to see more the whole time.
Maybe he does like, we know we don't get to see it, but we can imagine he probably confused all those cops with up close magic.
Yeah.
And then left.
Because if you go and you're like, hey, what, you put an ace on the bottom of the deck, tap, it's on top.
Yeah.
And then my head explodes.
Yeah.
So that's the end of the episode. Thank you for recording with me tonight. This was last minute. We were supposed to record tomorrow, but I got a hot date tomorrow night.
I'm really excited for your hot date.
And we're going to talk about it in episode 3.
Are we really?
Sure, why not?
Oh, boy.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It's someone from the... It's a Hinge date you got.
So it's an internet person?
It's an internet person.
Okay. Well, be careful. We'll see.
Yeah, I'll be careful.
Pepper spray.
I literally texted Meg. I said, I know we're recording tomorrow night, but I set up a date. She seems really cool.
And I was like, yeah. I got nothing going
on. She seems really nice. I don't know. Guys, dating's weird.
I don't particularly like it.
No, it's not fun.
I think we should all just...
I think there's something to that arranged marriage thing.
I think there's something to just getting a dog and sitting quietly by yourself. And
then you can't have babies.
I don't have to worry about
it. Well, you already had your babies.
Yeah.
I don't like it. These apps. Guys, they take your data.
She's probably like a Russian spy.
Probably the Russian spy. Okay. So, if you turn into the next episode, it's just Meg going solo.
And
that means I am in Russia. Because they got me. And I'm in one of their very scary prisons. And we know I do not want to go to prison.
Yes. I mean, might be... Why she knew exactly.
She knew what to do.
Yeah.
God,
she knew your least ideal situation. This fucking lady.
Oh boy. If she tries to take me to Russia.
Why are you going on a date with her again?
Because I don't know if she's a Russian spy.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. In the off chance
that she's not. Like, she could be like a really special person.
That's fair.
She could be a really special person and we can like hang out.
Oh my God.
And like frame pictures of each other.
Frame, you want to like wanna, just like, solo, just not together, but yeah. Just like, here's one picture of me in a frame and I will take this
and picture. Here's her in a frame and they're both on my desk and I go, ooh, look at them.
You make them kiss.
I make them kiss.
That's good.
Yeah, I make them kiss. So yeah, we'll open up the next episode with a recap of the date.
I would like that. That would be fun.
I love doing stunty things like that. On the last podcast I made, which never got released, we did record one episode right after I'd come out of surgery from getting my wisdom teeth out.
Oh, that was a fun November.
Yeah. It was the sorry guys, lost tape. Not.
We could just give you
that episode.
Pain pills again.
Give me pain pills. We don't need a sleepier episode than this one. We're going to jack up on Red Bull next time we do one of these things.
I'm going to do some jumping jacks.
You're going to do some jumping jacks.
Yeah.
We talked about working out already. Okay. How long have we been recording 50 1 minute. That's a respectable.
That's respectable.
That's a respectable. Last time was...
It's like an hour and 17 minutes.
That was absurd. And we're sorry to all of you.
I also feel like there was some fat in there.
There's some fat in there. I'll trim it out. We haven't... Yeah. But this one's tight. This one's...
Except for this last part.
No, this last part's the best.
Okay.
I'm not cutting any of this last part out. Because it sets up next episode. So they'll be like, well, I want to hear how that date goes.
Yeah.
Okay. So Meg, overall, you give this episode a B or B plus?
A B or B plus. I give it a very low blip on the horniness Richter's
scale. Yeah, really? Not horny. Give me theories about what'll happen next, how they got here.
You know, it's really hard. This is actually something I want to say. This is hard for me because I naturally am inclined to want to go forward. So
we all are. It was hard for me trying to put myself like in your brain space.
Yeah. So if in terms of where we're going to see next, any theories I have, I think we're gonna see Skylar discover smoking in the next episode. I think Jesse is gonna realize that he can open himself up to love.
Yeah.
No, not Jesse. I'm sorry, because he's Jesse. What Friday Night Lights? Todd.
Oh, Todd.
Todd is gonna be like, maybe I am ready to love again.
Yeah. These are good guesses.
And I think Walt is gonna be like, shit, I gotta get out of here. I think he's gonna think that. And those are my best educated guesses. Oh, and we're gonna see Flynn, go like, I have been fucking around too much. I gotta study for
my test. I'll spoil it. There's a huge section of it where he just studies for that test.
Is it like a whole montage?
It's a whole montage. It's superbly edited, but very superfluous. Yeah, those are good theories. And we'll find out what happens. The next episode is called Ozymandias.
Mm.
So go with that what you will. And if you're listening to this, rate, review, and subscribe.
Turn that red subscribe button gray. I saw a YouTuber say that. So.
I think they're different colors in the pot.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Turn that subscribe button gray. If gray means don't like, sorry, you got to turn it gray. That's what we want. But thank you so much, and goodbye.
Good Heisenberg to you.
Good Heisenberg to you, fair listener. Bye.
Bye.